Welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. It is time for our final segment. It's hard to believe our time has just flown on by. Here we are at the Quicken Loans Studios, and right now we are going to direct our attention to the NL Central and the Milwaukee Brewers, who have certainly been red hot and off to a great start in 2014. They had a terrific April. So we're going to zero in on the Brewers, and my boy back from Las Vegas, of course, our go-to guy at Yahoo Sports Radio is our producer, Andy Pondillo. Andy, I'm so glad you're back alive and in one piece, and I understand that you want some coin out there too.
Back in one piece and $500+ richer, so you couldn't ask for a better first trip to Vegas.
Well, you know, Del Frasco's is just across the street, Andy, so I'm expecting you to buy me lunch sometime, okay?
Oh, we will do that.
All righty. Well, let's get some perspective on the success of the Brewers, because it has been a big difference from even a year ago.
Yeah, let's jump right into this Brewer team, and a team that I had said was left for dead this season. We were talking about the worst teams that we could see in the MLB. I had the Brewers list in a very exclusive 4-5 team group. They come out and prove me as wrong as I could possibly be. It's absolutely stunning what they've been able to put together, and a lot of MLB experts are just scratching their head at this one. But let's kind of break it down here. You got Carlos Gomez, who came off a really good year last year, a former high-round pick, a former guy that was supposed to be a superstar in this league. He struggled with the Twins, found himself with the Brewers, wasn't able to get in the starting lineup consistently. Last year, finally breaks out. He hit for power. He runs well, and a lot of teams are very irritated by him. A guy that you want on your team, but a guy you don't want to play against, because when he hits one good, he likes to flip the bat and showboat a little bit. You got him in the lineup, Ryan Braun, back fresh off the suspension, already 6 and 7 home runs between these two guys, not to mention Aramis Ramirez, the third base veteran, one of the best third basemen that we've seen in the recent memory when it comes to run production. He's leading the team in RBI, so you have all three of these guys together hitting. The Brewer offense could arguably be the best in the National League so far, but that's just where you start. You got to look at their pitching staff. Kyle Loesch, often a steady pitcher, but now pitching like back to his Cardinal ways, where he was a number two and sometimes even looked like an ace out there for the Cardinals. So he's starting to get back to those ways. I don't know if it can be kept up. Yovani Gallardo, the ace for the Brewers, he hasn't pitched like an ace the whole time he's been there in Milwaukee, but finally starting to show why he was so highly touted when he was a young pitcher. So you got good pitching, good hitting, and not to mention K-Rod on the back end of that bullpen, closing games out perfect this year, starting to look like K-Rod back from 2004.
Well, it's been remarkable to watch, because you think back a year ago in 2013, the Brewers had 71 wins, then rallied and finished very strong after 100 losses. So do you really believe, Andy, that the key for them this year, I mean, you were talking about the offensive production, what they've been able to do with the plate, but is their marker for success, is it really based on their pitching?
It has to be on their pitching. That division, you look at teams with some excellent starting rotations between the Cardinals, the Pirates, even the Reds. You know, some of these teams haven't quite lived up to expectations so far. It's only April. It's a long season. You never really know what you're going to get over a six-month span. And a lot of times these teams that come out like gangbusters and they're just winning games left and right, the Brewers winning all these games on the road, and it starts with the pitching. But you often wonder, when you look at a staff that's so thin like the Brewers, can they keep it up? Or if they're in the hunt, will they be willing to make a move, sell some prospects, get a veteran starting pitcher, and help that team get to the promised land? I don't know if they even thought they'd be in go-for-it mode, but I'd imagine if this team can just tread water with the starting rotation, and I felt like that's what they would have had to do to contend, but in fact, the starting rotation has been excellent, so you gotta imagine it's gonna come down a little bit, but if they can at least tread the water and get a veteran in there, it'll at least give them a chance, not only for a wild card, but maybe a division title. I still wouldn't have them as my pick, but it's been impressive nonetheless.
Well, they've certainly been very, very aggressive. What is your belief? What does your gut tell you? I mean, as far as how deep of a run that they can make and to continue on winning?
I see them as a team that hits the August swoon. You know, we see a lot of those teams where they're 4 months into the season, they're leading, they got themselves a little bit of a comfortable lead, and then the pitching just falls apart. A lot of times when you see a thin starting rotation, this is what's going to happen. You know, Yovani Gallardo, this guy I'm going to point to, because to get through the NL Central, you're going to need some aces in your staff. You're going to need shutdown guys, not only for winning streaks, but guys that can come on, stop the trend when you get on a losing streak and be like, hey, I'm your ace. I'm going to throw 7 shutout. We're going to get it done today. I feel like the Cardinals have that guy. I feel like the Reds have that guy, Johnny Cueto. But I do not feel like the Brewers have that guy. And Yovani Gallardo, who was brought up as the future ace of the Milwaukee Brewers, has never shown that until possibly this year. So it really is dependent on what they're able to do at the top end of the rotation. They're going to lack depth in the rotation no matter what, but if you have two studs up there in Gallardo, Loesch, I think you can at least make it.
Hey, we're talking some MLB at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, with our producer, Andy Pondillo, that's zeroing in on the Milwaukee Brewers. And, you know, Andy, you hit on something. You were talking about the NL Central, just how competitive of a division this is. What would you say the identity is in terms of it? What makes it so great?
The identity has been the St. Louis Cardinals at the top. They've transformed the way every team below them has to play the game, and that's through pitching, defense, chemistry, all of the above, and most importantly, a good farm system, a pipeline where you can keep bringing players in and have success immediately. The Cardinals are basically the staple organization in Major League Baseball, in my opinion, and when you play in a division with that team, it's very difficult. You know, living in Houston before the Astros were moved to the American League, I was able to watch how the Cardinals operated, and you generally get teams in baseball for a short span, where they're successful for 3 to 4 years, or even less than that, and it becomes go-for-it mode. Cardinals don't even ever have a go-for-it mode because it's always like that because their pipeline is so deep. So I feel like teams now, rather than going out and getting that big superstar in the NL Central, they're starting to make savvy deals. They're realizing the way to win in this division is to beat them through pitching, through defense, through playing the game right. And I feel like that's what the Reds were able to do when they were able to start to kind of cut into the Cardinals' success. They were able to construct a very good pitching staff. They were able to draft strong, bring up guys like Votto, bring up Jay Bruce. You know, obviously, anytime you have boppers in the middle of the order, that's going to help a lot. But not only there, you know, Homer Bailey in the rotation, they're able to make a trade and get Leto. So building through the top end of the pitching staff, drafting strong in the middle of the order, I feel like, yeah, it's become more of a pitching league than it ever was.
Okay, so Andy, let's zero around and talk about right now the Pittsburgh Pirates and kind of get your scouts' take on that and the April assessment, because very high expectations, we've talked about on the show, very high expectations coming into this season. Why such a poor performance coming out of the gates?
Very, very high expectations after one playoff visit, and the pitching hasn't been all that bad. You know, you look at Gerrit Cole, their young stud, 3.18 ERA, he's pitched several innings. You can't really find anything to fault there, and you really through their whole rotation, I don't know if it's been dominant. Wandy Rodriguez has had his struggles. Francisco Liriano hasn't pitched quite as good as he did last year, but it's not like it's awful. It's good enough to compete, and you could say it's just as good as any team out there in the NL Central going forward, but their offense, they did absolutely nothing to improve it in the offseason, and it's really showing. You know, you look at guys, you know, like Andrew McCutchen, obviously a big bopper in the middle of the order, but if you have no protection around him, it's going to be quite difficult. And right now, there is absolutely no protection for him. You got Neil Walker, who's hit for some power, Starlin Marte up at the top of the order. He hasn't produced quite what he did last year. Your young third baseman, Pedro Alvarez, he's hit for a lot of power, 6 home runs, at 172 batting average. He had a lot of struggles the second half of last year. He carried them into this year, and sometimes you get worried when you see a young player striking out at this rate, not able to put the bat on the ball. He just doesn't have a two-strike approach, and if you can't protect McCutchen in the lineup, it's really going to hurt the run production for that team. So there just really is not enough run producers, and you got to spend money for run producers, and I feel like the Pirates are unable to do that.
We're breaking it all down with Andy Pondillo, our producer from Yahoo Sports Radio. Andy, tell all the listeners where they can go and check out your podcast.
Podcast is at climbingtowelshill.com. It's blasting off, and we talk about Astros baseball, a little baseball around the league, and awfully tragic right now when we're talking Astros baseball.
Well, we're going to hit on that momentarily, but let me back up for a moment talking about the Pittsburgh Pirates. I mean, goodness, if they keep it up, I mean, they're on pace to lose 100 games in 2014. I mean, that really blows your mind.
I don't think they'll keep up that pace, but do they have a winning season? I don't know. You know, after all those years of losing, to finally get there, to finally get into the playoffs, and the management doesn't do
enough.
They're
teasing us. Let's quickly transition here as we get ready to wrap up our segment. Talk to us about some of these Tommy John surgeries. I mean, they've certainly been prolific this year. They're calling it the year of the elbow ligament. Why is it happening so often? What's your theory, Mr. Andy Pondillo?
My theory is that youth baseball has expanded greatly in our time, probably in the last, I don't know, 10 years. You're starting to see a lot of these kids playing year-round. That hurts, but I think what hurts the most when it comes to youth baseball is a lot of these kids, they're throwing anywhere between 50 and 80 pitches per start in Little League, which is fair, But what's not fair is you're throwing curveballs, which you shouldn't be throwing under age about 16 to 17. And even then, you might be pushing it, but you can kind of get away with it a little more then. You're throwing a curveball at age 10, it's probably not good for your long-term elbow, long-term shoulder. And it's not... They're not using proper mechanics. They're not fully developed. And then once they're throwing 50 to 80 pitches, they're going out there and playing shortstop to finish the game. When you're a pitcher, you need to be icing your arm. You need to sit in the dugout when
Absolutely.
You're done. And that's the end of your day. They're asking too much. They're asking these kids to pitch, play shortstop, maybe move to the catcher, and take 4 at-bats per game. That's too much on a little league arm. I think it goes back to youth baseball a lot. There's a lot of other reasons. A lot of it's mechanical. A lot of it's just bad luck.
Well, and Andy, you know it well, because you ump youth baseball, and we've just seen so many high-profile victims this year, from the Mets closer Bobby Parnell to Oakland's Jared Parker. We got to step aside. It's always a pleasure to catch up with you, Andy. Great job, and we look forward to talking to you again real soon, okay?
Why, thank you.
All right, a very special thank you to all of our guests in our lineup joining us on this Friday night at YSR, the Big East Sports Show. Motez Bashara, of course, go out and check out a copy of his book, Beating the NBA, Tales from a Frugal Fan, Bill Rabinowitz from the Big Ten, talking about the Ohio State Buckeyes, Rob Goldman, Bill Ingram, and Jason Peter with our weekly Under the Helmet segment, reminding all of you to not drink and drive. We'll see you next weekend for the biggest, the best in sports, the Big East Sports Show. So long, everyone.